This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We want it ended. So those three things are paramount. These are measures that will make our community safer and more prosperous. These reforms are supported by the overwhelming majority of Americans from every standpoint, from every poll. And they're being requested by law enforcement officers. I had a big meeting with ICE last week. I had a big meeting with the Border Patrol agents last week. Nobody knows it better than them. As an example on the wall, they say, sir, we desperately need the wall. And we don't need a 2,000-mile wall. We don't need a wall where you have rivers and mountains and everything else protecting. But we do need a wall for a fairly good portion. We also, as you know, it was passed in 2006, essentially similar thing, a fence, a very substantial fence was passed, but unfortunately, I don't know, they never got it done, but they need it. So I'm appealing to everyone in the room to put the country before a party and to sit down and negotiate and to compromise, and let's see if we can get something done. I really think, Dick, that we have a chance to do it. I think it's very important. You're talking about 800,000 people, and you're talking about lots of other people are also affected, including people that live in our country. That's from the security standpoint. So maybe the press can stay for a little while, and a couple of folks can make statements, and I don't mind the statements. We want to have this as a very open forum. I will say, though, that I really do believe Democrat and Republican, the people sitting around this table, want to get something done in good faith, and I think we're on our way to do it. This was an idea I had last week. I was sitting with some of our great Republican senators, and we all agreed on everything. It was a great meeting, right, David, right? We had a great meeting, Tom. It was perfect. Then I said, yeah, but we'd like to get some Democrat support. What do they say? And I say, let's have the same meeting, but let's add the Democrats. And that's what we've done. And I think we're going to come up with an answer. I hope we're going to come up with an answer for DACA. And then we go further than that later on down the road. Dick, perhaps you'd like to say a few words.
Was this brilliant or what? I mean, this comes from a man that, of course, the pundits of fake news have just absolutely been going apoplectic over, suggesting that he is without any kind of intelligence or moxie, totally ill-equipped for the job. And, hey, look, at this is reality TV coming to the Beltway. And what a blessing, I believe, you know, for the voting public to see, okay, this is how government can work. And this is what America, Main Street America, thought it could work by having an outsider come in and bring the disparate parts together and pose the question, set your party aside. Let's do something good for the country. This is what we all want anyway. But if we keep politicizing this, you know, these important policy decisions that must be made, then we're going to stay on each other's corner and we're not going to be able to come together and affect good policy that's win-win for all concerned. You know, this way, DACA, you know, the Democrats want to just say they're championing DACA. I think, you know, Republicans are behind that as well. They just don't want to tie it into something and be manipulated. So everybody is for DACA. And but it's the process of how to get that done. And Donald Trump pulled back the curtain and allowed the cameras to be there. You know, what were they there for, about an hour? This is like an hour infomercial for the Donald Trump administration and this American revolution that is taking place, whether some on the left and the resistance, you know, would like it or not, is that this is the power of the truth, is that it can break through all the lies. Because, as I said often and continue to say, my dad would always remind me, he says, son, the cream always rises to the top. And yesterday it rose to the top. And the good news is it rose to the top for the benefit of, you know, the DACA immigrants, these young kids, And I think that it will begin to open up a dialogue to where, gosh, we could only hope that we would be able to affect some a positive immigration reform.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, hello America, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. And we're going to be talking about Steve Bannon, okay, with the author, Keith Coffer, an award-winning reporter who has covered four presidents, is the founder, editor of the White House Dossier, which covers the executive branch. He is the former senior editor at the Washington Examiner and the author of Bannon, Always the Rebel, the book that we're going to talk about, but also talk about an update. And Keith, I guess if you could, you'd be adding chapters after all the recent news about Steve Bannon, right?
Yeah, there's a whole another chapter has been written in the saga of Steve Bannon. You know, it's been an incredible change from even just a few months ago when he was, or a couple months ago when he was leading this sort of populist revolution and trying to unseat all these sitting senators and kind of serving as Donald Trump's wingman on the outside of the White House. And now all of a sudden, he's got nothing, for now anyway. And, so, you know, it's been, quite a downfall.
Well, kind of amazing. You and I, arranged for this interview a couple of weeks ago, before the end of the year. And little did we know that the timing of this conversation would be very appropriate in light of, the recent news breaks.
Right, yeah, it just all has happened at once. You know, Trump breaking with Bannon very publicly, and now him being set loose from Breitbart. I honestly did not expect that Breitbart would get rid of him. You know, he's really been instrumental in building that website from, you know, after the tragic death of Andrew Breitbart, and, you know, turned it into a major force. And I think they're courting some danger, you know, by getting rid of him there.
Mm-hmm. I said this yesterday that Steve Bannon may be down, but I don't think he's out. There's too much substance to Steve Bannon that even you know, call it a mistake. I mean, he's now come back and made some statements, walked back a couple of things in terms of this whole scenario with Michael Wolff and what this exposed. But there's just I just think there's too much about Steve Bannon here. He may have to step away for a moment, regain his balance. But I think there's too much about Steve Bannon that keeps him still in the game.
I will tell you, I couldn't agree more. I think you are absolutely correct. You know, a couple of things about him. First of all, you know, to what you said, he's substantively, you know, understands and represents the populist nationalist revolution that really occurred in this country when Donald Trump was elected. And so he's been in the middle of that for years. And he's an extraordinarily driven guy. You know, for my book, I interviewed him for 10 hours, and I think I got a really good sense of his personality. He will not be dissuaded by this. He will not be deterred by what happened. He is committed completely to what he's doing, and he understands sort of the tide of history and the changes that have occurred here, especially if Trump moves over too much into the embrace of people like Mitch McConnell and and the rest of the Washington establishment here, and we've seen some signs that that may happen, then Bannon may again become ascendant with the Republican base. So I agree entirely with you. He's a one name. He's like Madonna. I mean, you can say Bannon and people know who you're talking about.
Exactly.
He has that name recognition. Mm-hmm. If he's lost Breitbart and some of the money at this point, and I think he will turn around.
Well, and that's what generally happens. I see this as just a phase that he had to go through, probably a lesson learned. I often say to my kids, you know, we experience defines preference. And even with all the experience that Steve Bannon has, it didn't mean that he didn't have more room for experience. For example, him getting caught with this Michael Wolff deal, because you think, well, wait a minute, he's smarter than this. Why would he let Michael Wolff come inside the hen house here?
Yeah, it's an incredible thing that he allowed that and trusted that. I think, you know, what I would, and you're right, he does have to learn some lessons at this point. And, you know, there's been a little bit of denial there, from what I've sensed with him, about what's happening. And he's going to have to step back and understand that he made some mistakes here, went too far. But, you know, the thing with, letting Wolf in was a very bad mistake. I mean, you have to be careful. I'm a reporter. Okay. I've been a reporter for 20 years and I'm very careful before I talk to a reporter because I don't completely trust them most of the time. I do research about who they are. And you know, if they want to interview me about Ben or something like that, I find out a little bit about them. You know, especially with the mainstream press. And this Wolf, to let him in, I think what happened was Bannon, you know, had this sense of exuberance, when they came into the White House that they were going to change history and that this was going to be a whole new, strategy that was going to be implemented. And so he wanted someone to come in and chronicle it and kind of write the history of it. And I guess he figured that's what this Wolf guy would do, but it ended up backfiring on him completely. Very bad judgment.
Well, it would seem that Mike Wolf set him up because he wrote an earlier piece that was very, very supportive of the Trump administration. So he kind of laid a chip out there that seemed attractive that could have led Bannon to consider Mike Wolff and think, okay, well, he's going to be sympathetic. He's going to be objective. But, of course, now we know, a year later, not so.
Yeah, I think he was very manipulative and even dishonest in the way that he approached it. You know, he tried to convince people that he was on their side. And then he also conducted a lot of conversations that apparently people didn't realize they were being interviewed. And he just did a lot of sort of ethically challenged practices that a lot of journalists, including me, you know, would not do, even if it would get a much better book and, you know, a more salacious story. And so, you know, I think that is provides, you know, a lot of fodder for people who say this book is not to be trusted. And a lot of people have denied their quotes. And I think, you know, he already showed by weaseling his way into the White House that he's not the type of person to be trusted.
Well, as you say, Keith, you know, with Mike Wolff comes a reputation. People who knew him, worked with him, said that he has a way with the word, and he lives in hyperbole, exaggerates things and makes things seem grander than they are, which is kind of ironic because you might say that about Donald Trump. You know?
Right. Right. And he did have that reputation that preceded him. I mean, there are other, if you just look at his bio on Wikipedia, which, it's a place where he can contest things and try to be somewhat objective, Wikipedia. It shows that on previous books, many people have said that he has misquoted them, made things up, and been, as you say, sort of grandiose and out of touch with reality in the way he approaches it. I think some of the blame here also has to go to Rance Priebus.
Yes.
Chief of staff. He's been around Washington forever. He understands these reporters. He should have said no to this, Bannon too, and frankly Trump also. You know, the West Wing is not a big place. There are not a lot of people wandering around there. Wolf must have stood out like a sore thumb, And, you know, someone should have put the lid on this. And Bannon, of course, is responsible as well.
Well, I imagine, as you say, the West Wing being what it is, probably one of the first questions comes in is, who is this guy if you don't know who he is? And the next thing is, what is he all about? So I can't imagine there wasn't any scuttlebutt flying around there that didn't get translated to Steve Bannon or the rest of the crew there. Keith Koffler is with us. We're talking about his book, Bannon, Always the Rebel. More coming up after this.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
I've been spending all my time just thinking about you. I don't know where to do. I think I'm falling for you. I've been waiting all my life and now I find you. I don't know where to do. I think I'm falling for you. I'm falling for you.
Join us online at Bill Martinez live.
whether it's online or any one of the 280 affiliates that we have across this country and markets that we're able to invade, even via shortwave, we're all over the place. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Bill Martinez. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're talking with Keith Koffler. His book, Bannon Always the Rebel, of course, perfect timing after yesterday's announcement that Stephen Bannon was stepping down from his post as executive chairman of Breitbart News, ostracized for now from conservative circles, some might say, and the Republican Party that he brazenly predicted he would remake. Keith, you know, let's put Bannon in balance here if we can, and you did this throughout your book. Bannon, quite the character. I mean, you don't rise to the level that he was at without having some sort of ego, right?
Yeah, no, he definitely has an ego, which I think is part of the problem with him, is that he's ignored, you know, some of the obvious warning signs that he should have ignored. You know, he probably thought he could bring this Michael Wolff into the White House and control him. You know, and he does have a strong sense of himself. I will say though that a lot of people that I spoke with, who are friends of his and longtime associates of him, say that, you know, he's willing to, put himself in the background, which after all is what he did for most of his life. I mean, nobody heard of Steve Bannon until a year or two ago. I mean, he made films. He didn't generally put himself in his documentaries, made many documentaries about the Tea Party and the conservative movement, and he put other people in them and was just behind the scenes. And, you know, despite a fairly strong ego, he basically, for him, it's about the cause. It's about this populist nationalist ideology that he wants to promote and push forward. And I heard that from many people who worked with him.
Mm-hmm. Did he have this sense that Donald Trump, though he embraced it more than anybody, it was still negotiable, that he wasn't quite all in to the level that Steve Bannon is in regarding conservative principles?
I think that's right, but I think that Bannon believed much more strongly than others around Trump and other Republicans that Trump had bought into a lot of the ideology. You know, he would tell me that Trump was, you know, had been talking about a lot of these things for years, including issues like trade and on national sovereignty and even things like having NATO members pay their bills and concerns with international institutions, that, you know, these are things that Trump would talk about for a long time, and that he was a natural fit, basically, for the populist conservative program. I think on some issues like immigration and so forth are things that Trump learned a little bit along the way, but obviously became extremely passionate about. So I think that Ben was less suspicious than others that Trump might, you know, suddenly turn into a Chuck Schumer style of Democrat.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, did Steve? When you look at any kind of organism and the sum total of the parts, you appreciate the different personalities. Though Bannon may be, a little bit of acidic and maybe a little bit of the spice of the formula that got Donald Trump elected, I think people need to remember Bannon was part of the recipe, right?
Yeah, he was. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you're right. It's a good analogy. You know, it makes the food taste a little spicy, but on the other hand, it also went down pretty well, I guess you could say. He's the one who, the Breitbart platform that he built is really something that energized and galvanized the base that ultimately elected Donald Trump. And so he was an extraordinary part of that, even before he got to the campaign. Another thing that he did was through some various organizations that he was a part of and helped institute, such as the Government Accountability Institute. They put out information tearing down Hillary Clinton. Like, they basically softened her up for Trump with information about the Clinton Global Initiative and a lot of the influence peddling that was going on with that by foreign governments, including Russia. You know, what you hear about this whole uranium deal with the Russians buying up uranium and Hillary approving that came from Bannon and his Institute. So even before he got on the campaign and guided the campaign, he'd done a lot to sort of set the stage for a Trump victory.
And, of course, help from Peter Schweitzer as well, who wrote two definitive books. And one in particular, pointing out, we've spoken with Peter on several occasions in how he looked into this, that it just, you know, we thought, hey, let's check into some of these foundations. And he said the Clinton Foundation kept circling back. It was he just couldn't believe, you know, how much had been ignored over this deal, and he even mentioned in his book, The Uranium One. And so here we are, you know, what, 3 years later, just barely getting into it. And, of course, in typical fashion, what progressives like to do is that anything is more than a week old. If it's outlived its immediate news cycle, then it's already been settled. You know, why are we talking about this now, regardless of there being new information, right?
Right, right. And, that's true. And Schweitzer, you know, he worked at this Government Accountability Institute that, you know, very closely with Bannon. So they were both very much involved in that. And I think that's some of, you know, what you said about today's news and so forth. You know, and the reason that Bannon will come back, you know, Bannon has a very good sense of history. He's extraordinarily well read, and he looks at things on a much longer timeline than certainly people in Washington do, and certainly journalists do. And he, you know, he understands, I think he truly believes that the ground has shifted politically and that he's on the right side of it. And that's why I know that he has faith that he'll be back in the arena.
Well, a champion for the populist movement still needs to be there. And if he comes out and plays this right, you know, with some humility, because it seemed to be that there was a conflict between he and Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't like anybody sharing the spotlight, much less being in his shadow.
Right.
And Bannon, by virtue of his personality, and maybe in part by his mystery, because when you play in the background, it leaves a lot to be imagined. And I think there was maybe greater imaginings than some would suspect. And I just sense from, you know, some of Donald Trump's tweets that bothered him.
I think it did, you know, sharing the limelight with him and Bannon's prominence. You know, Trump really does not want anybody else to take credit for his success. And of course, Trump is responsible far more than anybody else for his own success.
Right.
But I think you're right that sharing of the limelight hurt Bannon, and that he has to think about that. And you know, he admitted to me, and he said it to others, I think, that he's not a good staffer. You know, he's not good at working for people. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was probably inevitable that there was going to be some kind of clash between these two sort of titanic personalities, Bannon and Trump.
Not to mention the culture of the Beltway in and of itself. I mean,
right.
You got a bunch of sharks in the tank with the, you know, the baseline, you know, soundtrack coming underneath. So it's like you got to be on the lookout. So I can appreciate that. Keith, as we wrap this up in your book, Bannon, Always the Rebel, in light of today's news and how you've seen history unfold around your book, what is it about your book now that you look back in retrospect and say, wow, this is... you know, this was quite perceptive.
That's a good question. I mean, I think it is the sense of, I mean, maybe it's just the sense of his personality that he just pushes and pushes, and it can get him into trouble, but it also can create great success. So that is something that I think augurs well for him in the future. If, like you said, he learned some lessons. I mean, just, you know, the way when you look at the book, you know, you talk to people who work with him, and they say, well, you know, he was working 100-hour week, and I was working 100-hour week with him. Mm-hmm. Then we made enough money, and I retired, but he continued to work 100-hour weeks even after he made enough money. So
exactly.
It's a sense of, you know, always the rebel, someone who will always be pushing, and so I think that's what we're going to see coming out of it.
Well, Keith, thank you so much. Appreciate you being on with us. Bannon, Always the Rebel, linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
Thanks.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 Plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Plus, call right now and get a free report on how to avoid costly Medicare mistakes. Call now.
855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. 855-301-5506. That's 855-301-5506.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live. BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, just the many, one of many ways that you can connect with us, including Red State Talk Radio. We welcome our listeners from Red State. Appreciate you joining in. We've got Sarah Westwood with us. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk with her. Of course, she's been very busy as the White House news correspondent for the Washington Examiner. And I just asked her, I said, if she was in the group of reporters yesterday for that hour-long extended kind of reality TV of our government working together. And this was quite the show yesterday, Sarah, right?
Absolutely. It was pretty remarkable to see a little bit of how the sausage was made yesterday
in
the immigration meeting that President Trump had with Democrats and Republicans. You could tell at first there was a little bit of scripted remarks going on. Everybody sort of gave their opening statement. But after a half hour or so, it kind of seems like the lawmakers forgot that the press was there and were more candid with each other. So it was interesting to watch that unfold.
Well, you know, Donald Trump on the campaign said he could be the one to bring the parties together. And, of course, the media said there was no way that this would ever happen. And, of course, all in the light of Mike Wolff's book and his, you know, exaggerated tomb, reinforcing the lack of the president's own sanity.
Right. I think that this was maybe a subtle challenge to this claim in the book that President Trump is childlike, that he doesn't understand policy. You could see him discussing pretty substantive details of DACA and the immigration battle, what Republicans wanted out of any kind of comprehensive immigration reform deal. That's something, you know, that was a direct challenge to the claims in the book that he doesn't understand what he's talking about, that he doesn't do his homework. I think the White House has been wise to stop talking about the book directly, mm-hmm. because that really only gave more airtime to the claims in the book. And by ignoring it, they're sort of letting the book fade away. That's already starting to happen.
Well, in a sense, yes, you kind of straight arm it, ignore it, but demonstrate to the people. I mean, don't tell me you're a genius. Go show me that you're a genius. And for an hour yesterday, he was showing the world this guy knows what he's talking about. And all these pundits, you know, from MSNBC and CNN and George Stephanopoulos and all these other pundits that have giddily talked about the sanity of President Donald Trump. I mean, what do they look like today?
Well, you know, I think that it was hard to ignore how remarkable and sort of groundbreaking that pool spray was. That's not something that we really get to see that much candid, unscripted remarks from a president dealing with congressional leaders. And I think that, you know, we saw a steep decline in questions about, you know, people were discussing whether President Trump was literate. I mean, whether he could read at the height of the speculation about this book. So I think that obviously that's not going to be as much a part of the conversation this week. So I'm sure that they will find a way to bring that up again in some form or fashion. But for now, I think that storyline is sort of probably going to peter out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Sarah, you know, I was just talking to you before we got on the air. I think the first time you and I got together on the air, we were talking about Hillary's emails, and we talked about the slow drip of information that was coming out about these emails. And I think your son's going to be driving before we finally get to the very, very bottom of these Hillary Clinton emails.
Exactly. I think, you know, this is a gift that keeps on giving. It's been interesting to see how little attention has been brought to the fact that we now know the FBI is continuing its investigation of the Clinton Foundation in Arkansas. This is an investigation that under the Obama administration was sort of consolidated in Washington, even though it was going on in New York and Arkansas, where the foundation primarily operates. And there were questions at the time of whether politics drove the decision to pare back the investigation to consolidate in Washington under where the agents were could be more closely watched by top brass at the FBI and the Justice Department. And so it's interesting to see that that actually is potentially heating back up. We know that there's been at least one witness interviewed in the past few weeks, and there's been not much of a peep about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, of course, we have the big reveal of what was on Anthony Weiner's laptop, right?
We did learn that there was some classified information on the laptop, which was the fear, the reason why the 11th hour letter came from James Comey so close to Election Day, was that there was a fear that Anthony Weiner's laptop contained potentially classified information, an unsecured device that was in the possession of someone who didn't have a security clearance and who, quite frankly, had no business being anywhere near classified information.
Right.
That was a big deal, and so that suspicion was validated by those emails that came out last week.
Well, there was so much about, I don't know, you know, when you consider the Democratic Party and all this information has been coming out and has come out over time, the way they handled information, even, you know, at the level at the DNC, I mean, how arrogant. When you've got Podesta with a very academic password, the DNC was warned that they were being hacked. They ignored it. I mean, their whole attitude about handling proprietary information, I mean, this seems like a systemic issue and something rather dysfunctional with members of the party.
Well, it is sort of ironic, right, that Hillary Clinton's emails were potentially vulnerable to hacking, and the Hillary Clinton spent a lot of 2015 and early 2016 talking about how unlikely it was that anything could have happened to those emails, and then to watch the cyber attack that befell the rest of her party and her own campaign chairman, that helped cost her the presidency. So the fact that those hacks even happened kind of undermined her argument that, you know, it would be very unlikely that anything could have happened to her email. So we're in her basement.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, what do you make of, this GPS fusion controversy? More and more is being leaked out about this, and the whole collusion issue. We're a year down the road with the Mueller investigation. I mean, that has to play out. Donald Trump can't touch that with a 10-foot pole. It would ignite a firestorm beyond his imaginations if he was to interrupt the investigation. But he's got to let this play through. And now I guess the latest is that it looks like Donald Trump and Robert Mueller will be having a face-to-face.
What's interesting with the Steele dossier, I mean, the more we learn about it, the more we learn that this whole arrangement was just potentially something that did ignite the Russia investigation, right? That's been the suspicion of Republicans, is that the Obama administration's Justice Department used the unverified claims of the dossier that had been funded by Democrats to bolster its application for a FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. That would be a huge violation, abuse of the spying powers that the government has been given.
Mm-hmm.
And the Justice Department has never been able to say that the dossier played no role in the investigation. And yesterday, when we got a look at the transcript of Glenn Simpson, the founder of Fusion GPS, we saw that Christopher Steele, this British ex-spy who was being paid to compile these allegations against President Trump, met with the FBI as early as June 2016.
Exactly.
That was before the FBI opened its investigation. So the timeline is being supported.
Well, Sarah, as we wrap things up, about 30 seconds here, you're there at the White House as a news correspondent. In looking back over this past year of the Donald Trump administration, what's the sense there about this administration going forward?
Well, I think that there's a bit of optimism, because for all the chaos and the tweets and the fighting with Republicans, President Trump actually got quite a bit done in his first year. There may be a sophomore slump of sorts. All presidents experience that in the second year of their presidency. But I think there's a lot of optimism, particularly when they clinched tax reform at the last minute.
Well, that's good to hear, and hopefully there will be some, maybe improvement and more objective reporting coming out of the Beltway. We always count on you, so we appreciate your objective perspective and the hard work you're doing. Sarah Westwood from the Washington Examiner. Thank you, Sarah.
In physical illness, do you know someone who is? The book Yeshua Prescription is now available at ChristianHealingOils.com, along with sacred anointing oil formulated directly from the Bible. Based on the healing techniques and teachings of Jesus and the Scriptures, this book provides a step-by-step guide for healing all facets of life, including health, relationships, abuse, addictions, betrayal, and more. Author Elise Monet takes you on a deep journey into truth and surrender, two of the primary keys to unlocking Jesus' power in your life, by applying her AAA healing system and Christian healing oils. The miracles of Jesus come alive within you, healing mind, body, and spirit. The Yeshua Prescription is available today for only $14.95, and sacred Christian healing oils for $24.95 per 10-milliliter bottle. For a limited time, go to ChristianHealingOils.com and receive free shipping with every order. That's ChristianHealingOils.com.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hear Bill Martinez live. World seems out of control. How about words of wisdom from Scrat in Ice Age?
Bill Martinez live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. James Herson with us right now, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. Mr. James, Happy New Year to you, buddy. How are you?
Happy New Year to you, Bill. Doing great. Optimistic about the new year. Good time.
It is looking up pretty good, although I will say this over the weekend, Oprah making... announcement, maybe running for president. Seth Meyer and the elites of Hollywood doing what elites do, somehow claiming some sort of high moral ground after all these years of ignoring sexual harassment. They all wore black, but I'm not sure for the right purposes.
Yeah, it looked like a kind of a high fashion funeral, didn't it? You know, what's interesting about the whole Oprah frenzy. And, you know, NBC had to delete a tweet where they basically endorsed Oprah for president. The interesting thing about that is there was a candidate who was highly criticized about 2.5 years ago for floating the idea of Oprah Winfrey as a vice presidential running mate. And, you know, I mean, the mainstream media attacked this candidate, as did everyone in Hollywood. They made fun of him. And, of course, that candidate is now the president of the United States. That's Donald Trump.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of incredible irony and hypocrisy in what Hollywood's doing. And you pointed out they are out there now. Every male participant is in deference to this Me Too movement. And every woman who has to dress alike has to say the exact same things. Kind of oppressive, I think. It's kind of interesting. But at the same time, they ignore the fact, you know, Meryl Streep was in attendance. She who famously said Harvey Weinstein was her god.
Exactly.
And so many people who at least knew about the systemic problem, certainly with Harvey Weinstein and throughout Hollywood, what was called the casting couch, which was there for a century. And, if, you know, now all of a sudden they're all champions of women speaking their truth, is the phrase. And Oprah Winfrey, who basically uses emotion to get herself ahead, I say bring it on. You know, if she runs, can you imagine what Fusion GPS will do to Oprah if she runs?
Well, this whole deal, you know, staying on the Hollywood hypocrisy, James, is that what are they Me Tooing? Are they Me Tooing that they joined with the other women that chose to ignore and allow the Yaya sisterhood to get violated by the Harvey Weinsteins of the world?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, what it is in Hollywood is they're lemmings. And it really takes tremendous courage to go against that stream, which is so strong in Hollywood that, you know, the current flows left. And for anyone to buck the trend, they risk being a pariah. And if you're a pariah in Hollywood, you stop working.
That's right.
And
exactly.
So they want to keep working. But, you know, it doesn't portend anything good. What Hollywood has done. Yeah, the Golden Globes, they dress in black. The SAG Awards, they have all female presenters. And then the Oscars are probably going to do both. They're probably going to dress in black and have females. But in addition, they're utterly blind to their hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
They gave an award to James Franco. James Franco has numerous allegations, including attempting to have a meeting at a motel room with a minor. It's all over the internet. So they give him an award, which is typical of Hollywood, who gave standing ovations to Roman Polanski.
What, do you get an award
others.
For not getting caught? Is that what you get an award for now?
No, he got a Golden Globe Award for his film.
Yeah.
In addition, Hollywood goes and chooses as their host for the Oscars Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy
yes.
Kimmel, who co-created The Man Show, who had contest Guess What's in My Pants,
exactly.
Who goes around in the street, asks women to show their underwear. This is the sensitivity that Hollywood is showing.
See, you know, this guy, you know, Kimmel reminded me, I don't know, for many years there was a guy in New York on a cable station, and he would take gals into the alley with his camera and get them to take their clothes off. And that's what Kimmel's deal reminded me of when I saw some of those old, those old shows of his.
Yeah, no, they're all over YouTube. They're all over the internet. I mean, it's highly sexualized objectification of women. And Hollywood's the community that basically mainstream pornography. They made a movie out of 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
They are where the hip-hop culture is located, in part the record and music business that only refers to women as female dogs and garden utensils. And so this are they shocked really that men would act out what they have propagandized for all these years of the hookup culture? It's really amazing to me. But
where's to me, I'm saying, where's the apology?
Yeah, there is certainly no apology. When we talk about Jimmy Kimmel, you know, he was the one that CNN called America's conscience. And they called him that because all of a sudden he turned his late night comedy show into this serious political forum where Jimmy Kimmel would tell the world about health care and gun control. But he never talked about the sexual harassment issue or Harvey Weinstein. That's because he's vulnerable there.
Sure.
And he thinks that somehow nobody's going to check the internet. And the people, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is all bogus. It's an attempt to just show people that they're doing something, much like the meaningless commission that they set up, and we talked about on your show, they set up in Hollywood, and
yes.
they picked Anita Hill to run
right.
it. So I think they're going down the road of Roger Goodell and the NFL, and they're going to take their industry down.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, James, lots for you and I to get caught up on, being, you know, enjoying the, for the last 2 weeks, the holidays and all. So good to have you back. Your current column is talking about Twitter's account that's got everybody in a twit, you know, because the president just continues to use the power of his Twitter account. And you say he's keeping us safe.
Absolutely he is. I mean, look, Kim Jong, this all started because Kim Jong-un tweeted about the subject of Kim Jong-un's nuclear button, where he said he keeps it on his desk and it's real, and he bragged about being able to hit all the people in America. And so Donald Trump responded that he has a bigger button, a more powerful one than Kim Jong-un, and that the button, America's button, works. And all of a sudden, you know, this was because the new meme in the mainstream media is that somehow the president is mentally incompetent.
Right.
You know, this guy who has had the greatest first year of any president in memory and was able to pass that tax reform, was able to run a campaign that was revolutionary. And, you know, Nikki Haley said it very well. She appeared over the weekend about and responded to this criticism over the tweet, and said that Trump has to keep Kim Jong-un on his toes. What Haley said, it's important that we don't let Kim Jong-un get arrogant, that he has to realize what would happen if he pushed that button. He has to know that we can destroy his country, and to keep him in check.
Right.
And this is exactly true. That's what Ronald Reagan talked about, peace through strength. Yes, peace through strength comes through military strength, but it also comes with a an image of strength and a position of power, which Trump knows well from negotiating.
Exactly.
And, you know, one thing that's playing to our hands that also is keeping us safe is all this talk about the president being unstable. Actually, our enemies, including Kim Jong-un, including Iran, they're hearing that talk and they're saying, hey, wait a second, we better not mess with the United States because this guy Trump.
This guy's crazy. Well, they said that about Reagan. They said that about Reagan, right?
Exactly. They said it about Reagan. They said it about Bush.
Bush, yeah.
Reagan, remember, was the amiable dunce, and Bush was the crazy cowboy. And so, yeah, they've always, the left always demonizes presidents on the right by claiming that they're not intellectual.
Right.
When
what chapter is the progressive elite in right now of Saul Alinsky's book? I mean, they've tried sexual harassment. They've tried other accusations against the president. You know, he doesn't want to show us his his taxes. You know, you just go down the list, and now it's like, oh yeah, dementia. Okay, that's the new one. And it's like, okay, so what comes after dementia? Do you know?
Plan B, Plan C. You know, it's very interesting. Michael Wolff was supposed to write a book on the first 100 days of the presidency. It was supposed to come out a long time ago. They held it back. And the reason it came out now is because the Russia collusion thing dissolved.
Yes.
And now they're playing with the dementia 25th Amendment. And they'll keep at that. They keep punching away at that. And after a while, they'll come back to the sexual harassment. They're just going to keep switching around, and they're not going to get anywhere with any of it.
Well,
and they haven't.
Yeah,
but it comforts them, and it helps their ratings.
Well, they're going to have to stay tuned for more details, because James Herson, we got to leave it there and call it a wrap for the day. And, of course, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week as the saga continues. James Herson, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. James, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.